And I guess we'll just start off, if you can just kind of talk about in general terms what it's like to be the radio voice of the Jayhawks, maybe a little bit about your pregame prep, how it differs from football to basketball. You know, do you watch tape on opponents or anything like that? Just kind of generally talk about that.
Well, first place, it's fun for the most part. Sometimes it can get a little hectic, like this time of year we have a big overlap between football and basketball. We didn't used to have that, but now we do. We've had a couple of 3 weeks we're busy with both. And the preparation's a little different. Football, of course, you've got a lot more players to learn, but you usually have a week to do that since it's just one game a week. Basketball games can come and do come any time, any day of the week, and time of day pretty much, but the basketball is a little easier preparation because there's not as many people involved, but certainly nothing's more fun than KU basketball, so that all goes with it, but I'd tell you for the most part it's a fun deal.
Nice. Well, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the basketball team. How much are you looking forward to this coming season? Do you think the big things are in store for the Jayhawks?
Well, I look forward to every season, and this is kind of an interesting one because it's many new players, and it's a relatively young team with no scholarship seniors. Of course, they carry the mantle of being defending champions in the Big 12. It's been an unbelievable run that Bill Self has shared 10 straight conference championships. So each new team, I know, feels that and they don't want to pick a team that doesn't get a conference title. But I think it'll be a tough problem this year because there's some other really good teams. And, you know, this team's probably in a little bit of a question mark mode right now coming out of the Kentucky game. But they've got plenty of time to sort things through and get things going before the conference starts. But they'll be one of the top teams in the league for sure. And, you know, with a great coach like they have, they'll certainly have an opportunity to defend that title. But we'll see. We've got a lot of non-conference games to play right now. And that helps you get ready for the conference. And, you know, they play arguably one of the very toughest non-conference schedules in the country, you know, with Florida and Georgetown and Kentucky and Utah and some of the other teams they play. It's a really good preparation for the conference.
All right. Were you able to attend the Allen Fieldhouse 60th anniversary celebration? And if you were, can you kind of talk about that night and what it was like for you?
That was a really special night. I got to do some interviews with the four coaches that'll be a part of a package that'll be available later. But it was fun to be around Coach Owens and Coach Larry Brown and Roy Williams and Bill and just some former players that were there. I think that was one of the most remarkable events I've ever attended. It had anything to do with sports. I've talked to a lot of people around the country, and I'm not sure any other school could have even thought of doing something like that, having all the living ex-coaches back, all of them greeted warmly, all of them successful, and do it all in an iconic building celebrating a 60th birthday. That's just the stars are lined up, and it was really, really special. It was an honor to be there and talk to all those people and just kind of relive some of the history. Everybody had their own stories, their own era, but Allen Fieldhouse itself is, you know, it's just a big old building, but it's not. It's a lot more special than that, they've done a great job of adding amenities to it, making it modern, but still keeping the core field house, you know, with the bleacher seats and the old-time feel. It's just one of the really, really fun sports venues in the country, and I put it up there with, you know, a Fenway Park and baseball and some of those kind of things. It's old, but it's still refreshing and new, and it's, you know, just housed history, and that was such a great event, and the people that came up with that, I know, did a lot of work in a short period of time, but it was really fun.
It was definitely a very neat event. I was privileged enough to be able to get a ticket and watch from up in those bleachers that you were just talking about. Let's go and transition over to football real quick. It's been a pretty rough season on the gridiron so far. I personally believe Coach Bowen's effect on the program has been measurable, even though it hasn't necessarily showed up in wins, which is the standard by which coaches are usually measured. How would you describe Coach Bowen, and if given the opportunity, would he be successful at Kansas, do you think?
He's a guy that, for the first place, he's as KU as you can get. You know, he played here, he grew up in Lawrence, his brother played here. This is his dream job. And I don't know how many guys in the country who would be qualified to have the job would say that's my dream job. And there might be some, but it certainly is with Clint. And I think that goes a long way. He has made some changes. He's, you know, changed quarterbacks. He changed the offensive play calling around. He's installed a great enthusiasm in practice. And he's run with the players. I'm sure where he stands right now, as we have one game to go, I don't know. But I know he's a strong candidate and has been a strong candidate since he was named the interim coach. And now having had this eight game, you know, audition, if you will, I think it's given him real insight to the program. Not that he didn't have it before, but there's nothing like being in that head coach's chair. So he brings some great qualities to the job. But first off, he's really a good man, good guy, very loyal to KU, and would work very hard to try to make this thing go if he's the one selected for the full-time job.
Well, Kansas is obviously known as a basketball school, and for pretty good reason with all the tradition. Can KU have a continually successful football program as well? Does it just take finding the right guy to lead the team?
Well, we've had good teams, you know, from time to time. The problem has been sustaining it over a long period. But there are a lot of examples around the country where schools have had strong football and basketball programs. I don't think it's written anywhere that you can only be strong in one. You know, we had winning the 08 Orange Bowl. That year was, how many schools have had a year like that where their team won a BCS bowl game and then the basketball team took it even further by winning a national championship? I think that shows what the potential is at Kansas. Not that you'd win a national championship every year, but the fact is you have a chance to be successful in both, and they kind of feed off each other. I think, you know, that, I remember the football and basketball players were very supportive of each other. So I think with the right people in charge, a university like this certainly can be strong in both those sports.
The past game at Oklahoma on Saturday was pretty disappointing, to say the least. Why is it so difficult to get wins on the road in the Big 12?
Well, I think the first thing is you're playing a pretty good team in their home stadium in the Big 12, and that makes it hard. But Oklahoma was really geared up, and, of course, it was a record-setting day for their freshman running back who broke a one-week-old record for rushing in a major college football game. We saw a KU guy do that a couple of decades ago, and I had a lot more fun watching Tony Sands do it. Everything just lined up. It was kind of a goofy day. They postponed the game an hour and a half. Probably could have started it in retrospect at the original start time. But, you know, Oklahoma, because of that one player, essentially, he just made that a lopsided victory for the Sooners. Their other running backs didn't do that much. Their passing game for both teams was null and void because of the weather. But because, you know, P-Line had a record-setting day, Oklahoma had a big, big win. And they've been kind of a frustrated team. They'd had three losses in the conference and close games that didn't go their way. So they were pretty well geared up for this ball game.
How does P. Ryan relate in comparison to maybe some other freshmen that you've seen play college football throughout the years?
He's about as good as anybody I've seen. I saw Barry Sanders. He was really good, and some others. But this guy's kind of unique in the fact that he weighs right at 250 pounds. So he's a tough guy to tackle. He's 5'11", so he's kind of at a low center of gravity. But he's not a burner, but he's pretty fast. And once he gets some running room, he's just really tough for one guy to tackle. So I think we're going to see him play football for several years at a couple of levels.
So you just mentioned Tony Sands. He keeps slipping down that list of the most yards per game in a major Division I football game, thanks to guys like Perrine and Wisconsin's Melvin Gordon. Tell us a little bit about that game against Missouri when Tony set the then NCAA rushing record for yards and carries of the game. What do you call?
Yeah. I think Tony's fourth now, with Damian Tomlinson's in there with these other two guys.
Right.
But as I remember that game, Tony had something like 56 carries. That may be off a little bit, but right at 56 carries, I don't think he had any carry longer than 20 yards. So, you know, he didn't have a 60-yard run to stick in there every so often. He just did it with toughness. He was a battler, and made it even sweeter probably at the time that it was against Missouri, because obviously that was the big rival then that we no longer have. But that was just a great day. And he was such a tough-nosed kid, and